Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Genesis chapter 1 is going to come up on the screen, verses 1 through 3. And I want to read this out loud and together. Listen, the title of my message this morning is Holding It All Together. How many of you feel like you got to hold a lot of things together sometimes? Well, you are going to leave here very encouraged. I'm going to cover a lot of scripture today. I'm going to move fairly fast. There's a place I want to get to, but I want to have a firm foundation for us to lean on and stand on. Amen? All right, Genesis chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 3 out loud and together. Let's read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So when God created the heavens and the earth, he did so by a spoken word. All right, it was really a command. In the original language, Genesis 1:3 would read something like this. God said, "Light be," and light was. And so we read in Hebrews 11:3, even last week, it says, "By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." All right? And so in the beginning, God spoke the worlds into existence with a word. All right, so catch that. Now look with me at John chapter 1. I want to kind of parallel Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1 together. All right, John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." All right, so in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right? Listen, how did God create the heavens and the earth? With a word, right? In the beginning was the Word. So every time that God said, and it was so, every time God said, let it be, you know, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be fruit-bearing trees, every time God said, let there be, the Word was coming in and doing what God told the Word to do, all right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, everyone say he. He was in the beginning with God. So the Word is a person. So who can tell me who the Word is? It's Jesus, absolutely. And we know that he's a person, and we don't have this on the screen, because in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right, so in Genesis chapter 1, where God said, "Let there be, let there be, let there be," Jesus was the Word doing what God said. All right, follow me with this. It'll get you somewhere. Let me give you something more practical, though. Listen, when you read your Bible, how many of you read your Bible every day? Or try to? Right? Are you sitting there some teaching? Listen, I want to give you something practical. When you read your Bible from this day forward, understand that you're not interacting with a book. All right? You're interacting with the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And so it really changes the way you read things when you read your Bible in a continual, ongoing, relational conversation. Yeah, so when you're reading your Bible and you come across a promise, maybe slow down your reading a little bit. Because you're not interacting with words on paper. You're interacting with the Word himself. And so when you come across a promise or you come across something that's encouraging, just pause and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for this. I received this promise." And it's an ongoing relational communication. If you come across something in the Word of God that challenges you a little bit, maybe an area where you need to be shored up. How many have some weak areas in your life sometimes? Yeah, your faith might be weak. There might be different areas where you realize that, man, my character needs to be shored up. And when you come across a scripture like that, just pause and have a conversation and say, "Lord, thank you for strengthening me in this area." Yeah, we're not interacting with a book. You got it? When you're reading something in the Bible and you get correction, you know, you have some type of correction come and maybe a sin or an attitude, the Word of God kind of shines a light on that. Listen, you just go before the Lord and say, "Lord, thank you. I recognize this is a sin. I recognize that this is a place in my life that I need to submit to you. And I want to thank you that if I confess it as sin, you'll forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." Amen. It's a constant interaction with Jesus when you read your Bible, when you're sitting under the teaching of the Word, like this morning, or if you're listening to a message online or something, man, when something comes from the Word of God that pierces your heart, you just say, thank you, Lord. Or, Lord, help me, right? You just continually communicate with Him. And let me tell you why this is important. Because when you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll direct your path. Yeah? So your Bible's not just a book. You know, you are interacting with the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning was the Word. So I was thinking about this the other day. Remember when Jesus rose from the grave? And in Luke's gospel, it says that two of his disciples were leaving Jerusalem and they were walking to Emmaus. And so the distance from Jerusalem to Emmaus is 7 miles. And while they were walking out of Jerusalem, they were discussing all of these things that happened. You know, they thought Jesus was the Messiah. They thought for sure this is the one that came to save us from everything. But they saw him beaten. They saw him crucified. They saw him put in a tomb, you know. And then they heard that he was resurrected from the grave. And they're walking on this 7-mile hike out of Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus comes up alongside him. And Jesus starts unfolding the scriptures to them. And listen to what it says here in Luke chapter 24, verse 27. It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Think about this. Can you imagine? I mean, what it must have been like to be on that road. When Jesus opens up the Word of God, beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, Jesus begins to show them, these are all the verses that speak about me. So listen, I'm telling you, when you read the Old Testament, you need to know this. The Old Testament points to Jesus. All right? The epistles of Paul look back to Jesus, and let me tell you what the book of Revelation does. It watches for Jesus. Yeah, he is the Word. Amen? So wherever you're reading, Old Testament, New Testament, wherever you're reading, have this interaction with him. All right? And it'll change the way you hear the Word of God, and it'll change the way it impacts your life. Amen? So back to John now. Back to John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, look at this. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus was in the beginning with God, and everything was created through him. Nothing was made without him. Come on, did you guys know this? You know, a lot of times we see Jesus who came as a baby in a manger. You know, he grew up, died for our sins, went into the grave, rose on the third day, sends the Holy Spirit. That's all true. But he always was. He was in the beginning. And nothing was made without him. Listen, you exist because Jesus created you. Without Jesus, you don't exist. All right, so listen, let me tell you this. Let me take this further. Listen, without Jesus, the Word in your life, and I'm telling you, your life will be without form. It'll be void. Your life will be empty. Yeah, you'll have darkness on your face. You'll be scrambling around, feeling your way in the dark, trying to find direction without the Word of God in your life. Without Jesus, Word, you won't exist in the way that God wants you to exist. Come on, church. Listen, I started out this new year with this goal, that, man, I want you to fall head over heels in love with the Word of God. Yeah, but we need to know the Word of God as a person. Amen, and that's what we're learning today. Man, I want you to realize I cannot live without the Word of God in my life, because that's what's going to set you off. It's going to set you apart, and it's going to help you to reach all of the goals that you want to reach and receive all of the promise that God has for you. Listen, I can minister it to you, but you got to go after it. Yeah? I'm telling you, all the promise of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Yeah, so my heart coming into the new year was, man, I want to just get the Word of God so that you guys are like, can't wait to get in the Word of God. Amen? Can't wait to get in the Word of God. So without the Word of God in our life, man, there's deep darkness that leaves us scrambling around trying to find answers, right? Without the Word of God in our life, because the Bible says the entrance of the Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, right? So without the Word of God, man, I'm just kind of feeling around in the dark, and I'm looking for direction. But I have some good news. Listen to me. The Spirit of God is still hovering over the earth today. Yeah, just like in the beginning. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is hovering over the earth today. He's hovering over those dark areas in your life. Yeah. And he's carrying with him this true light. And he's willing to give this light to anybody that will call out on Jesus, the true light. Amen? Oh, come on, man. This is it. Look at John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, in him was life. Everyone say life.
Life.
Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he says, no man comes to the Father but through me. So listen, I just want to tell you right now, there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Yeah. You need to know that, because there's a theology out there that says all roads lead to heaven. Yes. It's not true. There's only one. Listen, we can't compromise that truth. Amen. Amen? We can't water that truth down. It says, in him was life, and it says, and the life was the light of men. Everyone say light.
Light.
Yeah, so Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. All right, so listen, Jesus is the Word, Jesus is the life, and Jesus is the light. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. All right, so if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let there be light, Jesus was the Word bringing that light. Amen? Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. So now we're talking about not the author of this book, but we're talking about John the Baptist. And this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So listen, as John the Baptist was sent, so are we. Listen, as a born-again believer, your assignment is to bear witness of the true light.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what you do, right? And so listen now. Look at verse 9. And he says, that was the true light, talking about Jesus, which gives light to every man coming into the world. All right, so Jesus is the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. All right, so track with me now. Listen, when we who are in the world receive that true light, we now become the light of the world. Yeah, we shine in the darkness. Come on, are you hearing this church? I'm telling you right now, there is an anointing on your life. I don't care if you think you're unworthy or not living right. You have an anointing on your life, and the Holy Spirit is in you right now, and he's hovering over people's lives around you that are empty. They're empty of hope. They're empty of love. They're empty of joy. The Spirit of God through you is hovering over these people's lives. He's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you right now, and he's bringing light to those who are walking in the darkness of depression. In you and through you. He's hovering over those people who are walking in the darkness of loneliness or addiction. Come on, I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit is in you bringing light, hope, and love everywhere you go. And listen, this is what the Lord is saying to you this morning. This is what Jesus, the Word, says to you this morning. And he says it with a smile on his face, and he says it with confidence. And he says, you are the light of the world. Oh, you're the light of the world. Oh, I remember sitting my daughter on my lap when she was just a little girl. And I would tell her all the time, you're the light of the world, Brittany. I'd sit Rachel on my lap. You're the light of the world, kids. That's who you are. Don't ever forget it. And Jesus is telling you today, you're the light of the world. He's saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? Come on, you're carriers of true light. Yeah. You're carriers of true light, church. Yeah, that's who you are. That's how the Lord sees you. You're the light of the world. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you are carriers of true light. Yeah. Come on, turn to him. Say, let your light shine. Come on, get your finger out like this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You remember that song? You're the light of the world. Now look at John chapter 1, verse 10. Come on, those little songs that you sing to your kids, they stick. Not going to let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Remember? Look at verse 10 now. Look at this. He, Jesus, the Word, was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, make him known, make him known, make him known, make him known, make him known. But this is what I'm pulling in here, okay? It says the world was made through him. All right, so look at Colossians chapter 1 with me, verses 16 through 17, because the Word of God keeps driving this home about Jesus. It says, by him, by Jesus, by the Word, all things were created. By him. Things that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Look at this. All things were created through him and for him. So God spoke all things into existence through his Son, by his Son, and for his Son. Look at verse 17. And he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things consist. So I wanted to find out what verse 17 meant, so I looked at a couple other translations, but I really like this verse 17 in the New Living Translations, Colossians 1, verse 17. Look at this. This is what caught me this week. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Yes, so listen, Jesus created everything, and he holds everything together. He's both creator and sustainer. So he existed before anything came into existence, and he holds all creation together right up to this current moment. Oh, come on, we got to see this. Yeah, this isn't just some Savior that died for your sins. You can go to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Listen, he is active. He is holding all creation together. Listen, think about this. He holds all of the oceans and all of the bodies of water all over the world, the Great Lakes, every ocean, every sea. He holds all of the bodies of water within the boundaries of the shoreline. He does that. Come on, he holds our solar system together. You know, he keeps the earth spinning at just the right speed with just the right gravitational pull so our feet will stay planted on the earth and we won't go flying off in space somewhere. Yeah. Listen, he holds all things together. But listen, I want to tell you, that's not all that Jesus is holding together. He's holding my life together. Yeah, listen, not just physically. You know, it's not just keeping everything within this thin layer of skin so my guts don't pour out. He's not just holding me together physically, but he's holding my personal life together. He's holding my emotional life together. He's helping me be mentally stable. He's holding my marriage together. He's holding my family together. He's holding my kids together. He's holding my health together. My mental stability. He's holding it all together. Come on, are you hearing this? Think about this. Listen, the one who created all things, who holds all things together, everything. Oh, listen to this. He is inviting you to walk with him. Oh, he gives us a personal invitation every single day to trust him, to hold it together, to trust him, to trust him with your life, to trust him with your future, to trust him with your finances, to trust him with your healing, to trust him. He invites us to trust him, this creator who created all things and holds all things together. And so listen, let me tell you, this week, this is what I've been doing. Man, I learned, and maybe you already know this, but it came very real to me. When I put my trust in the one who's holding it all together, I don't have to try to hold it together myself very much. Yeah. It's a simple faith. Listen, I'm telling you, the Lord's talking to us about faith, but he's bringing this faith reality into a place. It's simple trust. And that trust is going to come from knowing the Lord. So when I'm thinking about the creator of all things, Jesus, who was in the beginning, and he's holding all creation together, and I just say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I can trust you, who holds all things together. It just relieves me. So when I come a part of my life or my day, and I feel like, man, I'm juggling. How many of you had too much things to do in a day? You're trying to juggle all these things, and you're wearing all kinds of hats. You know, you're a mom, you're a teacher, you're homeschooling, you're a dad, you're working, you're a father, you're a husband, you're doing all that, you're a boss, you got all these things and all these hats, and you feel like, man, I don't know if I can hold it together any longer. I'm tired, I'm fatigued. And you just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to thank you. You're the creator of all things, and you hold all creation together. And because you're holding this together, I can trust you with it. Come on, how many of you know that's faith? Listen, this is not wishful thinking. This is not walking in denial. This is what God Almighty wants us to do. He wants us leaning in on Jesus. He wants us doing that. He wants us to trust him. It's not irresponsible to trust him. So the question is, can you trust the one who created all things? Can you trust the one who's holding it all together? Can you trust him with your life? You know, can you trust him with your future? Can you trust him with your finances? As Pastor Jim talked about. I'm telling you, church, he is trustworthy. He is absolutely trustworthy. You can trust him. Amen. Now look at Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Look at this. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Verse 2, but in these last days, everyone say last days. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He speaks to us in these last days by his son, look at, whom he appointed heir of all things, and here it is again, through whom also he made the universe. All right, so Jesus is not only the heir or the inheritor of all things, but he's also the creator of all things. How many of you are seeing this? It's all over. It's all over the Bible. He is the creator of all things. Look at verse 3 now. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Now look at this next part. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. So here we go again. Jesus is not only the creator of all things, he's the sustainer of all things. The New King James Version says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Oh, think about this. Listen, how many of you ever heard of the habitable zone? The habitable zone. I don't study this a whole bunch, but I stepped outside my front door last week. And man, it was at nighttime and I looked up and there was a bazillion stars. You know, and you get awestruck. And I remembered the word from Psalm 33:6, where it says, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. And I'm standing on my deck just like, oh, almost overwhelmed. When I'm thinking about the creator who came to die for my sins is holding all this together. You know, and so I started looking up a little bit, and so I learned something. There's this thing, it's called the habitable zone. The habitable zone is the distance between the earth and the sun. All right, so the question is this. What keeps the earth orbiting around the sun in this habitable zone at just the right distance and just the right speed? Man, if we get too close and go too slow, we burn up. If we pull back too far, we freeze over. Listen, who is allowing us, who is causing us to be able to orbit around the sun at just the right speed and just the right distance so we don't burn up or freeze over? He's the sustainer of all things. Come on, he's holding all this together. Are you hearing me? Listen, all the food that we eat and all the water that we drink, Jesus created that for us. And he's sustaining it. He's upholding it. You never run out. He's holding it all together by the power of his word. Jesus sustains and upholds. He keeps all things together by the word of his power. But listen, I wrote this down. Not only the world we have to walk on physically. He doesn't only hold the world that we walk on physically, but the world we have to walk through emotionally and mentally. Come on, do you realize that mental health care facilities and the behavioral medicine floors in hospitals are full? In most cases, a person that needs inpatient care for mental struggles, there's not enough beds. So Jesus is the sustainer, not only of the physical world, but of your soul. He's the sustainer of your mind and your emotions. All right, so listen, what's going to hold your marriage together? What's going to hold your family? What's going to hold your parenting together? What's going to sustain your sanity, your mental well-being? What's going to keep your world from falling apart? I'm telling you, church, there's only one thing. It's the word of his power. It's his powerful word that sustains you. It's his powerful word. I'm telling you, if I didn't have the word of God in my life, I'd be a mess. I'm telling you the truth, and so would you be. Man, I'd be frantic. I'd be scattered. I'd be disorganized. My life would be without form. It would be void of hope. It would be void of purpose. It would be void of love. If I didn't have the word of God in my life, I would spin out of control. Yeah. How many know life can be challenging? Come on, man. Life has a way of throwing things at you that can spin your world out of control just like that. You know, a tragedy can happen. God forbid. Something can take place at in any given moment, but I want to tell you, there's a force at work. There's a force at work that holds us together in difficult times. Amen? Amen? Come on, hear me. Listen, can I tell you, church, listen, keep reading your word, okay? Keep reading your word, and don't just read it as a book. Interact with the word himself. Listen, I want to encourage you, keep studying your word. Can I encourage you, listen, keep coming to church. Keep sitting under the teaching of the word, man. We need what God has to say through his word. Yes. But we're not interacting with a book, are we, church? We're interacting with the creator of all things. We're interacting with the person of Jesus Christ. And so, man, we're constantly sharing back and forth. We have a relationship, and we're conversing back and forth as we're sitting under the teaching and as we're reading the Bible. It's different when you approach it and you recognize that Jesus is the one speaking to you through his word.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, he wants to. All things are held together by the word of his power. Look at Psalm 119. 116 and 117. Look at this. It's our prayer. Uphold me according to your word that I may live. Yeah. Another translation says, sustain me just like you promised. Come on, are you hearing this? Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Verse 117, hold me up and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. Listen, can we make this our prayer right now? I'll read it and you repeat it. All right, make this your prayer. Uphold me, Lord, according to your word, that I may live. Sustain me, Lord, just like you promised. Don't let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, Lord. and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. Listen, we have a few people in the church. Some of you have knee problems, some have hip problems. And it's difficult, it's painful. And so this is what's been my prayer. The Lord says this, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Yeah? And so I was praying for somebody this last week, praying over their hip. I think it was you, Ernie, was it? And man, I just got this flash. The entrance of your word gives light, right? Gives understanding to the simple. And so listen, if you're struggling with hip problems or knee problems or foot problems, you know, if you're having a hard time walking in any way, listen, I want to tell you, if you can see it, you can have it. And so my prayer is this, that the Lord says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So listen, if you're having a pain on your left side, man, just reach up your hand to the Lord and realize that every time you take a step on that left side, he's going to uphold you a little bit. Yeah, he's going to remove the weight. Yeah, it's better than a cane. It's better than a walker. And the Lord's saying, you can stand on my word. You can stand on that promise. And so every single time you start thinking about whatever that pain might be, just reach up your hand. The Lord says, I will carry you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, says the Lord. And just know, man, he'll start taking the weight off that pain. Come on, he can rehabilitate you right now by his word, church. How many of you believe this? Listen, does this mean that God won't use doctors or surgeons? No, he uses doctors and surgeons. I'm not telling you not to go there. But I'm telling you, the Lord is sustaining us by the word of his power today. And the word of his power will meet you wherever you're at. Amen. Come on, how many can receive this today? Yeah. We have to take God at his word. He wants us to. He wants us to. I think it's a slap in his face when we don't take him at his word. It's like, man, I've never lied to you. I've never cheated on you. Never. But we don't take him at his word, and it's almost like, man, what have I done for you to not trust me? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he's trustworthy. Yeah. Come on, man. He'll sustain your kids. Yeah, he'll hold your kids' lives together. Come on. You don't have to carry all that all by yourself. Just take it to him. Say, Lord, you sustain all things by the word of your power. You're the creator of all things, and you hold all creation together. My child is created by you. Hold them together. Hold their life together. Amen? And we do our part, but we call on him. Do you know that Jesus wants you to call on him? Yeah, he tells us to cry out to the Lord, he says, and he'll deliver you out of all your fears, out of all your troubles. Yes. Call on me and I will deliver you, says the Lord. Yes. Yeah, what do you need to be delivered from? Financial debt, sickness, sin, whatever it is. Oh, man, I got so much stuff inside of me. Let me share this. I won't preach this yet, but I'm going to give you some of this because these are the things that I've been thinking about. The Bible says that all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. In him, in Christ, right? Well, listen, in the Old Testament, there's these promises. You can read them in Deuteronomy. If you obey, then I will do this. Old Testament. If you do this, then I'll do that. And listen, we know we need to obey, right? Yes. But listen, when Jesus came, he completely fulfilled the law. Yes. So now, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So listen, since Jesus came and fulfilled the law completely, our receiving the promises are no longer if and then, it's yes and amen. Yeah. Yeah, because let me tell you what happens. We'll come across a promise in the Bible and we'll think, yeah, but I'm not worthy. It's not if and then. You come across a promise in the Bible, and you just go straight to the one you're interacting with and say, Jesus, yes and amen, I receive it. Yes. Listen, what are we doing? We're bypassing too much thought, too much of our own intellectualism, our own logic. And we're saying, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Yes. Thank you, Oh, remember when Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat and he got in with them and they were going to cross the sea, and in the middle of the night, Jesus is asleep in the hole of the boat and a storm comes in. Remember this? Man, and the waves are crashing and the disciples, they thought they were going to perish, remember? And they were afraid and they woke Jesus up and says, "Don't you care we're perishing?" What did Jesus do? Man, the creator of all things, peace be still. He spoke to that storm and it calmed it down. And I'm telling you, the Lord will speak to the storm in your life today. Yeah. When you're full of anxiety and you're all stressed out and you got a storm going on inside of your heart and your mind, oh, I'm telling you, Jesus will speak to the storm in your life. He'll say, "Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still." Oh, I got so much inside. Remember when the centurion came to Jesus? And the centurion was this honorable man, and he had a servant that was paralyzed and being terribly tormented. And I think this is in Matthew's gospel account, but it says that this centurion came to Jesus and he said, "My servant is paralyzed and he's lying in bed and he's deathly tormented." And Jesus said, "I'll go heal him." Just like that. But what happened is this centurion said, "You know, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof." He goes, "I'm under authority as well, and I can tell this one to do this, and he'll do it. I can tell this one to do it, and he'll do it." And he says, "You don't need to come under my roof. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." And the Bible says his servant was healed. That very hour, God sent his word and healed him. Yes. Come on, can I tell you that the Lord is saying, "I hold all things together by the word of my power, by my powerful word." Listen, if you feel your marriage is falling apart, get in the word and find the promises that God will renew love. Yeah. Not feeling. If you're basing all this stuff on feeling, you're not going to make it. Amen. I don't really feel like I love him anymore. It's not a feeling. Yeah? Listen, the Lord is doing something. There's something that's happening. He's stirring his word up in our hearts. And he's saying, "Man, just jump on my word. Step out of the boat and stand on my word. Come. Just do it." Yeah, and do it in simple childlike faith, church. Come on, are you getting built up? His word is all powerful. You can count on it. Amen? Can I show you something else? Let me show you one more thing, okay? Back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. All right, check this out. I want to look at the second half of this, and then we're going to get you out of here. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Now look at this part. "After he had provided purification for sins." So in other words, after Jesus died on the cross for the sins and raised from the grave. "After he provided purification for sins," look at, "he sat down at the right hand of majesty, of the majesty in heaven." So here's the question. What does Jesus do as he is sitting at the right hand of the majesty of heaven? This is where he is right now. The creator of all things, who holds all creation together, who sustains all things by the power of his word, he is seated at the right hand of God, at the majesty in heaven. So what does he do as he's sitting at the right hand of the majesty in heaven? Look at this. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 34. Romans 8, 34. "Who then is the one who condemns? No one." Look at Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Oh, I get filled up. We have nothing to worry about. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. "Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood." Look at verse 25. "Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him." Listen, "because he always lives to intercede for them." So check it out, church. We have Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, who existed before anything existed. We have Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the ruler of all things. We have Jesus Christ, this true and living word who holds all things together, praying for you continually. Come on, are you hearing this? We have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. And when you start fearing and you start worrying, say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're holding it all together. Yeah. Come on, yes, stand to your feet, church. Let's give him praise this morning. Come on, give him praise this morning. Oh, the Lord's telling you you're not alone. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're not without help. You're not without hope. Oh, my word is sustaining you right now. God's word is shoring up those areas in your life. Yes. He's interceding for you constantly. So listen, man, when you go through something, you know, because trials and tribulations come. Man, when you go through stuff, just remember that and tell him, Lord, you're holding all things together. I thank you that you're praying for me right now. And you are the word. You are the all-powerful word. You spoke and the worlds came into existence. Oh, you can speak into my situation and turn this thing around. Come on, church. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. I don't know about you, but man, my faith gets built up about this stuff. Come on, how many received something out of this today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say some things. All right, stretch out your hands. Let's say some things. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is all powerful. I thank you, Lord, that your name is above every other name. I thank you, Lord, that you are the word. You are the true light. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are holding all things together right now. Not only the earth I walk on, but Lord, you're holding my emotions together. You're giving me a stable mental health. I thank you, Lord, for renewing my mind today. I thank you that your word says that by your stripes I am healed. I thank you that your word says that you uphold me by your righteous right hand. Oh, I stretch out my hand now, and I thank you. You're taking hold of it. Oh, you said you would do it, and you're doing it. I thank you, Lord, that you take the weight off my shoulders. Oh, your word says, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, says the Lord, and my burden is light. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord Jesus, for touching and healing in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. You're faithful and true, and you're for me and not against me. Thank you that I leave here today knowing that you're praying for me continually, all the time, because you're one who never sleeps nor slumbers. Thank you, Jesus, for being on watch over my life, over my kids' lives, over my grandkids. I thank you, Lord. You are sustaining me. I thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, give him some praise, church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. God bless you. Go in faith. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.